Hello, Saints. It's good to be back with you again. Glory be to God, we got a nice day out there today. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we just praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us how to confess that word, to walk in our in victory every day. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that our confession of the word is a creative force that has to be reckoned with by the enemy. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this word. Well, that's what I want to talk about today is confession. It's a creative force, part two. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 6 says this, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." What's going to deliver them? The mouth of the upright. Folks, deliverance is as close as your mouth. The mouth contains the tongue that controls faith and fear. Words produce after their kind. And we need to understand that. When we start speaking what God said, that devil is going to sit up and take notice. He has to. God said to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Who's going to do it? Well, we always thought God was going to do it. But God said, "If you will do my word and have done it, I'll see that it's performed." You know, I prayed, "Father, you make this prosper." But that's not doing the word. God said, "You do my word and it will prosper." He says, "You have made your way prosperous." So we need to choose the words of life, don't we? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14. "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth." Well, the fruit of his mouth would be what his mouth produced. In other words, by the produce of his mouth, he will be satisfied or disappointed. The words of his mouth should cause him to be satisfied with good. Now, verse 17 of that same chapter said, "He that utters truth shows forth righteousness." What's truth? Well, the word of God is truth, and it shows forth righteousness. Proverbs 12 and 18 says, "There is that speaketh rashly like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Now we need to get that one. This is stout. He said there are people speaking, and it's just like jabbing a sword in you and cutting you and damaging you or damaging themselves. They are desiring something from God, but they are cutting themselves up spiritually by saying, "Oh, I'm so unworthy. I just can't get my prayers answered. I don't know why the Lord won't heal me." These are people who are supposed to be believers, and they're using their tongue to destroy their faith, using their God-given ability to hold themselves in bondage. God gave us the ability to use our tongue to create a better life by speaking words that are full of faith. And the choice is ours whether we're going to speak them or not. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verses 9 through 19 says this. Now listen. "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in all the work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if if thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. If thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not too hard for thee, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us and make us to hear that we may do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us and make us to hear it that we may do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Lord thy God may bless thee in the land whither thou goest in to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, and thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land whether thou passest over the Jordan to go in to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed. But the tongue of the wise is health. Praise God, the wise talk health. They talk life. They talk healing. Proverbs 12 and 21, there shall no mischief happen to the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Well, they know what is acceptable. They speak God's word concerning their deliverance. Psalms 107:2 said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. They speak God's word in the face of apparent defeat. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. The word said it will even change your grocery baskets, glory to God. He shall live good by the fruit of his mouth. You know, shall, S-H-A-L-L, is one of the strongest words in the English language. Shall doesn't mean maybe or sometimes. Have you ever said this? Oh, we just can't afford that. I can't make the money last till the end of the month. We just can't afford the things we need. What did Jesus say, though? He said he came that you might have abundance. And you might say, well, yeah, but you don't understand. I don't have the money. That's beside the point. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. The thief comes to steal your finances, kill your faith, and destroy your health. What did Jesus do? He came to undo the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, to this end, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Glory to God. And the literal Greek reads that he might undo the works of the devil. So he can undo what the devil has tried to put on you, can't he? Galatians 3:13-14 tells us, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And we find in Deuteronomy, the 28th through the 30th chapters, that the curse of the law is threefold: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Poverty was part of the curse, and Christ redeemed us from it. Now, you might not feel like you're redeemed from poverty. You may even look like you are. You don't even look like it. But again, that's beside the point. The Word says, that's what we got to go by, the Word says that you are. Be smart enough to agree with God and don't quote what the devil said. If God said I ought to have abundance, then bless God, I'm going to agree with him. 3 John verse 2 said, Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, whether I ever get it or not, that's up to God. As long as I say what he said, do what he said do, I'm doing my part. And you can rest assured God's going to do his part. Now, I didn't say go out there and write a bunch of hot checks. And I didn't say live above your means. What I'm saying is speak God's word until it brings your means up to where you desire to live. Now, let's read in the New Testament, starting in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 26. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself, and goes away, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But he that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continues, being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. And if any man thinks himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain or empty. A lot of folks out there seem religious. They even have a religious tone of voice. But the word said if he doesn't control his tongue, it will destroy all that he said he believed. You could say you believe the Bible, but if you don't control your tongue, it'll cause the word to become ineffective. And as far as you are concerned, it will be just as though it didn't exist. That devil will come in and he'll trample you in the dust as long as he controls your words. And we need to know what the Word of God says about us, don't we? So determine now to know what the new covenant, the contract, says about you. Start saying what the Word says if you want to walk in life and health. And confess it now, Psalms 138 and 8. God will perfect that which concerns me. James 1:26, if any man thinks himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain or empty. So we need to watch our words, don't we? God's word is truth. Romans 3, verses 3 and 4 says, for what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? God forbid. Yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. Proverbs 13:13 says, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. Shall be destroyed because he has rejected truth. The word of God is truth, folks. John 8:31 and 32 says, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus also said in John 6:63, the words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Jesus spoke spirit words, and they became a stabilizing force of life. Jesus spoke only that which he heard the Father say. He said in John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus spoke God's word continually. He was established in his Father's word. He overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil by the spoken word. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 4th, 7th, and 10th verses tells us that the only thing that Jesus used against the devil was the spoken word. He spoke the written word. It is written. Oh, thank God it's still written today. However, in book form, the word has no power until you read it or speak it yourself. In Luke chapter 6, verses 46 and 48, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? 47, everyone that cometh unto me and hears my words and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now here, Jesus is about to tell you how important it is to practice the word of God, or to be a performer of the word of God. Verse 48, he is like a man building a house, who digged and went deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well builded. And if you'll notice, this man dug deep, started his building, his foundation on something that was already established and was unshakable. What is that? That's the word of God. His life was based upon God's word. Although they beat upon him, the flood and the stream couldn't shake him. Circumstances won't shake a man who believes the word of God. Psalms 112 and verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed and trusting in the Lord. However, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 49, but he that hears and does not is like a man that built a house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the stream brake, straightway it fell in, and the ruin of that house was great. Well, what caused that man to be defeated in life? It wasn't the flood or the stream. Actually, they had nothing to do with the destruction. He heard the same word, but his life was not based upon the word. He did not do the word. He suffered great loss needlessly. And if you'll notice, it didn't say one was saved and the other was not. The indication is that both came unto him and both heard what he said. Today, there are many born again and hear the word, but hearing the word is not the foundation spoken of in the above verses. Doing the word is the foundation that made this man successful in life. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Folks, God's word is the only true knowledge. It's going to make you stable even in the storms of life. And speaking God's word will bring God on the scene. Glory to God. Jeremiah 1 and 12. I watch over my word to perform it. That's God speaking there. To despise, reject, or even to disagree with the word opens the door to Satan. And if you despise the word, you've invited destruction into your place. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. Have y'all ever read that scripture before? The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And it is beginning to change hands. When you and I begin to act on the word of God, when we get our speech in line with the word, we will see God move in our behalf. We have often said, oh, it looks like the wicked prosper. Well, we said they were. That's one reason they're prospering. And we said, oh, they can do just anything, and whatever they do will prosper. What you've done is you've released faith to prosper the wicked. The words of the believer are powerful when spoken in faith. Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to him that believes. And too many times we have had more faith that the wicked would prosper than we did in God's word to put us over. That's totally unscriptural. And we read in Isaiah 54, 14 and 15, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they may gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. 16, behold, I have created the smith that blows the fire of coals and brings forth a weapon for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness, which is of me, saith the Lord. So we need to make this our confession. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Say it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, glory to God. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Notice what it said. It said, whatsoever you do shall prosper. It didn't say whatsoever the wicked does. Verses 4 and 5 of the same chapter says, in Psalms 1, the wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So you can see that it is against the word of God to say the wicked prosper and I suffer need. So we need to learn to put the word into a confession form. And we need to confess this before we go any further. Just say it with me. No weapon formed against me will prosper, but whatsoever I do will prosper. So say it again. Say it out loud. No weapon formed against me will prosper, but whatsoever I do will prosper. Now we need to let these words penetrate your spirit. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Woo, yes. Glory to God. That's true. Start agreeing with the word that your prosperity is sure, physically, spiritually, and financially. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now don't start praying that the wicked will lose everything they have. That's going to get you in trouble. Just start confessing the things that you knew. Thank God the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And I thank God I am the just, and I will get my part by acting on the word. They haven't acted on the word, and God said that the wicked shall be cut off. Their name will rot, and they shall not be found. And if you'll notice, look in Proverbs 14 and 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise will preserve him. They will preserve him through financial crisis. They will preserve him when they say there's a recession or a depression. His lips will preserve him if he confesses what the word says and if he acts on that word. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. The knowledge that we have, we are to use it aright. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge. It's the tongue that makes good use of knowledge. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, it says in Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue will bring healing as a tree of life. The wholesome tongue has that creative ability. Now, go down to Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of mirth is heaviness. Now, the real reason people beg God for healing is they don't believe that they will receive if they just ask Him. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Tears of self-pity are a subtle form of unbelief. Do not be deceived by them. Turn to my word. Lean heavily upon it. Then you will learn to release your faith in laughter. Then you will surely turn to the enemy in the face of adversity and laugh to his face. The word said in Proverbs 15:13, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. We've prayed a lot of times, oh Lord, just break me. Break me, Lord. Folks, He don't want you broken. He wants you acting on the word. And if you'll notice in verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Thank God. He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Then, I don't laugh until I thought I'd die. I laugh until I knew I'd live forever, praise God, and have a feast while I'm doing it. The word in Psalms 23:5 says that He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And somebody said, when we get to heaven, we're going to sit at that banquet table. Well, there ain't going to be no enemies in heaven. It's right here on earth He's talking about. Most Christians have put it off until the afterlife. Praise God, you could have it right now here on this earth. In fact, I'm convinced the only thing that you can't have here on this earth and keep it is the glorified body. You can have the kingdom. I ain't so sure about that anymore. You can have the kingdom and the benefits of it right here on this earth. The Bible said in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The literal Greek says the Father took delight in giving you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in you. Now the good things come out of the heart. Where's the kingdom? It's in the heart. The good things come out of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12:34. And that's the way the good things come out, in word form, spoken words. It is in your power to release the ability of God. Start saying, the power of God is in me to put me over. Greater is He that's within me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. I'm quickened according to the word of God, and I thank God that the ability of God is released within me. And I stand before demons, I stand before sickness and disease, and I have no fear because the ability of God is released within me by the words of my mouth and by the word of God. Praise be the name of the Lord. In Proverbs 15:23, it says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Now you can see that. A man has joy by what he says. That's the reason folks come squalling and bawling and pleading for God to heal. And I've heard some say, I don't think I'll ever get it. I'll probably be like this the rest of my life. They don't have any joy because of what they said. They have said, the devil has defeated me. The devil has hindered me. The devil's done this. He's done that. Listen, forget the devil. Forget him. He ain't nothing. Act on what the word of God said. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1, but the Spirit saith expressly that in later times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Paul said they're going to give too much attention to the devil and his bunch. Learn to write the devil's name with a little d. Get your sword out. And if you want to give any attention to him, get your sword and whittle him up on him for a while. Start taking that sword and beating him up with it. Put the word on him. He'll leave. He won't stay around long. He can't stand the word. But as long as you testify for him, he's going to buddy up with you. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. What's going to teach his mouth? Well, it didn't say God would do it. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Now, you're back to the kingdom again. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Then he said, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb and sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Some folks' bones have just dried up because they have talked doubt, fear, and walked in unbelief. They continually think about what the enemy is doing. Oh, they say the devil's on a rampage today. Well, some people think that the devil is alive and doing well. That ain't true. He ain't doing so well. No, thank God the devil's in trouble. He's alive, but he's not very well. And I'll tell you for sure, he's got knots all over his head. And if you ain't putting no knots there, shame on you. You should have been cutting him up with the word of God. Thank God the devil is not doing well. We all need to read the back of the book. He's losing ground every day. We ought to be confessing the enemy is losing ground every day. And we need to quit saying that the devil is doing well. Now, if you pinpoint what he's doing, it does look like he's doing pretty well. Just get over here on the other side. See what God's doing. And you'll find that the enemy is not doing so good. There's more people right now being filled with the Spirit than ever before. I'm talking about in all denominations. There are prayer meetings going on every night by the hundreds of thousands. You don't see that on TV. They just put what the enemy's doing on TV. Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. In verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. Now, if you'll notice, he didn't say a wicked man, he said a fool. Now, I ain't calling anybody a fool, but I've seen some Christian folks whose mouth was causing destruction. Now, understand this, the believer is a dangerous person. That enemy, our enemy, does not go out and stir up sinners when he wants to cause problems in the church. Their words don't amount to anything. They fall to the ground. But when you start believing what you say will come to pass, then you have creative power going for you. And that's the reason the devil wants Christians talking negatively. It will destroy and it will tear down. And we need to get smart on that end of it. You have creative power right in your mouth. Learn to release it wisely and accurately. Romans 3:3-4. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? God forbid. Yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou come into judgment. Proverbs 13:13, who despises the word brings destruction upon himself. 2 John 2, for the truth's sake, which dwells in us and shall be with us forever. God's word is truth. The tongue has the ability to destroy you or put you over in life, depending on how you speak. James 3:10, out of the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now the words of Jesus ring real clear. Listen to Matthew 12 and 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your heart, your spirit, is programmed by words. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Fear comes by hearing what the enemy said. Many Christians have continually confessed the words of their enemy, the devil. They establish his words on earth and are held in bondage by them. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Ain't nobody on this earth who is in his right mind would go around always confessing or saying the same thing his enemy says. You can understand why you would not want to do that in the natural world. You have enough sense to know that your enemy's words are designed to work against you. And if you were to say the same thing the enemy said about you, you might be calling yourself a liar, a thief, and a no good, unworthy sinner. Can't you see the parallel here? And that's exactly what the enemy is trying to get you to do with your own words. He wants you to create a distorted, unworthy, self-destructive image on the inside of you, in your spirit, with words authored by the enemy of your soul. Jesus tells us in Matthew 12 and 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. I want you to notice who Jesus said would cause it to be manifest. He didn't say that God would do it. Man brings it forth, not out of his head or intellect, but out of his heart. Jesus said that the good things and the bad things of life come out of the heart and they are released out of the mouth. Matthew 15 and 11. Not that which enters into the mouth defiles the man, but that which proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Matthew 15, 18 and 19. But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings. And the last thing the devil ever wants you to see is the facts of the recreated spirit. Now here's some of those facts. You are created in Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship, not your own. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Old things have passed away out of your spirit. All things concerning your spirit have become new. Jesus became sin that you would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You as a born-again believer are an heir of God, a joint heir of Christ. Romans 8 and 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. You're fully able to come into the Father's presence without fear or condemnation. You are free from the law of sin that produces spiritual death. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. You have become a son of God so you could be a partaker of his divine nature. Very capable of fellowshipping with deity themselves. Now, Satan can't do that. He ain't got no fellowship with deity. He's a dead spirit. He can't function in the realm of the God life as man can. The reborn human spirit is a higher creation. Man was created to have fellowship with deity or with God. The spirit of man is not of this world. It is of the spirit world. The creative ability of man comes through his spirit. When man has God's word abundantly abiding in his heart and speaks it forth in faith, he speaks spirit words that work in the world of the spirit. They will also dominate the physical world. He breathes spirit life into God's word and it becomes a living substance, working for him as it worked for God in the beginning. These spirit words dominate the natural world. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They were the words of God received into his spirit, and being abundantly in his spirit or his heart, he released faith in word form through the words of his mouth. His words penetrated the spirits of men. Their spirit heard him, and they acted with their spirit on spirit words. "Take up thy bed and walk. Stretch forth thy hand. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Lazarus, come forth." These words he spoke were truly spirit words full of life. And it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Romans 8, verse 11. "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you." And it does make mortal bodies alive. Spirit words spoken by Jesus ignited the faith that was already residing in these people. It caused an explosion of God's ability on their behalf. And it was all set in motion by words spoken in faith. Mark 11:23-24 tells us it. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever," that's all of us, "shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says comes to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and you shall have them." Oh, the power of faith-filled words. All we got to do is simply speak boldly the desired results in prayer. And because it is spoken so boldly and emphatically, it causes a lot of people to agree with your word. Jesus said this, "If two of you agree on earth, it shall be done for them by my Father." When you speak more boldly, more people will agree with you. I found that to be true. Faith-filled words spark others' faith that is dormant or inactive and causes it to be released. There is a creative power released when you proclaim boldly things that are in agreement with the Word of God, and it causes others to release their faith. And notice carefully what happened in Acts chapter 14 and verses 8 through 10. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. He leaped and walked." Paul perceived by the Spirit of God that the cripple had faith sufficient to bring healing. The faith was not in that physical man. It doesn't operate through the physical. The words Paul spoke were creative power. They were spirit words inspired of the Spirit of God. He spoke them to the man on the inside. And if he had been talking to the man's physical mind, he would have had to explain to him that he did have faith, but the spirit man is where faith resides. Physical words would be used to speak to the physical man. The words Paul spoke wouldn't have made a bit of sense in the world to the physical intellect. Spirit words, words filled with spirit life, not authored by men, authored by God, but spoken by Paul. Stand upright on thy feet. And now you realize that he's talking to the man on the inside, that spirit man. It would have been useless to tell the physical man to stand up because he had never walked. His intellect knew physically he couldn't do that. If it could have been done physically by the man himself, don't you know he would not have stayed in that condition? But it was beyond his physical and mental ability. The ability had to come from his spiritual resources. The spirit man on the inside of him. However, they were received into his spirit. Stand upright on thy feet. What did he do? He leaped and walked. Spirit words received into his spirit released spiritual power in his physical body. And this creative ability of spirit words formed in his spirit and produced physical results. Our faith has to be released. In Acts chapter 9, verse 34, Peter spoke to a man who had been bedfast for 8 years. He didn't pray for him. And he didn't tell him he would remember him in prayer like we often do, don't we? Peter spoke to the spirit man in Acts 90 and 34. And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ heals these. Arise and make thy bed, and straightway he arose. That was an impossible task for the physical man. But Peter's words went deeper than the physical. His tongue formed spirit words, creative power that ignited faith that was pent up in that spirit man but had never been released in action form. James chapter 2 and verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Faith that's not released into action is as gas that has not been ignited. It produces no power. The word says in James chapter 3 and verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body and sets on fire the wheel of nature and is set on fire by hell. In other words, the tongue in the untamed state is a fire and a world of wickedness, and the fire that is in the tongue is from hell. Natural humanity cannot tame or control this fire that is in the tongue, but thank God, Jesus made provision for this tongue to be not only tamed, but also set aflame with the Holy Ghost fire. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Acts chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Two marvelous things happened to the 120 on the day of Pentecost. First, they were born again. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Natural men became supernatural men. Jesus said, you can't put new wine in old bottles. New wine must be put in new bottles. They become a new creation men. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Supernatural men that never existed before in this righteous state. 2 Corinthians 5:21, him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. They were not now sinners saved by grace, but new creations in Christ, glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. no longer totally subject to their natural ability. Second, they were baptized with Holy Ghost and fire, Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The tongue that had been an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, set on fire of hell, was now set aflame of the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit had come to abide in the spirits of men. John 14 and 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. 1 John 5, 1 through 4, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God, and whosoever loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. Hereby we know that we love the children of God whom we love God, when we love God and do his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. So men that will overcome the world and have dominion over the circumstances of life. Men that would dare speak as God spoke. Men with tongues of fire. Men who dare say to a man who had been a hopeless cripple for 40 years, who had never walked one step in his entire life, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Peter's tongue, now a flame of the Holy Spirit, had become a creative force, releasing God's ability. The words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart need to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. And we should confess this: I let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, but that which is good to edify, that it may minister grace to the hearer. A man's belly, that's our innermost being, shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Proverbs 18 and 20, whether good or evil. Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 13 and 3, he that guards his mouth keeps his life. Now, James 3 and 6 says, setting on fire, the wheel of nature is set on fire by hell. It's set on fire of hell. It's full of death, carrying venom. And it can kill you, or it can release the life of God within you. Praise God forevermore. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll maybe do a little more next time.